Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high, laugh as we go and see ya.
I am black and I am proud. Tired of working for everybody else. You know, what's so interesting for that is that the work today is different than we're working for somebody else. Everybody who already up with me, because some of y'all don't get up at 7, but you better call some folks, because at 6:45, 6:50, I'm going to start a tape. I'm doing a very special tape on Dr. King. And I thought that this tape was a very important one for you, because it really explains a lot. You know, you've heard people tell me Dr. King said, the people who are not heard, the word of the spoken that's not heard and all that. There's a lot of stuff that they attribute to Dr. King without context. So a lot of stuff I'm having context. And I'm going to really, I saw your black leaders, your black people yesterday. They went to Biden had them at the White House because he needs some more folks to get started for this summer. And they're going to be in the street today because of voter suppression. That's the Lord, have mercy. Now, I tell y'all all this year, and y'all didn't believe me, about this voter suppression stuff, about this voter ID. I don't know nobody got no ID. Now, they done backed up off of that. So they got to do something to keep us all so emotional that we do not stop and think about what's best for our community. And that's why I have to put this thing in context with Dr. King this morning. Because you're supposed to have a struggle and a fight, but you're supposed to have a solution. And you're supposed to be, when we march for a reason. And one of the reasons I'm going to take my time, why I'm going into this today, is because of I was on Edmund Pettus Bridge on Bloody Sunday. And I know folks who got beat up. Remember Reed died. He got his butt beat up, and Diane took him, put him in ambulance in Birmingham, and he died on his way to Birmingham to the hospital. And they beat him up because he was at the Walker's Cafe hanging out with the so-called, they call them nigger lovers. So, and when people talk about Viola Uso, the white woman who was killed bringing civil rights workers back from Montgomery, and then Cheney, a lot of other folks, but then also the black folks, Jim Lee Jackson, the black folks, who all the folks that got hurt in that movement as we were fighting for our rights for representation. And they have reduced our fight down to just the right to vote and not the right to representation. So when, even in this speech that I'm going to play of Dr. King, he's going to discuss why it is that we need to be able to vote so we can get better representation. And I think that's the key, because everybody keep hollering, oh, well, they take away your right to vote. Now, we're not ever talking about representation. It's interesting because if you looked at what happened with the Chinese, they got one representative down there in Springfield. Baby, she ain't playing because they understand representative government. She got them a school. And the governor just announced that they're going to start teaching the history of the Chinese folks in the Illinois school. Now, I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. Senator Shaw and Brookings and some other folks down there passed a law so that black history, not just Black History Week, but, you know, within them started Black History Week when we talk about people, that black history should be taught in the schools. Not no critical race theory and all that mess. Now I will tell you that these Chinese are going to put together their historians and they're going to be doing it. Nobody put together black historians for us to really put our history together. Now remember when Shaw passed that ordinance, Laron Bennett wasn't gone. He had not made his transition. He'd have been a very good person, but we still had great historian, regardless of parties, that can really put our history together and understand the fiber of America, how America is ours, but because they don't want us to know. But how do you get the Chinese history be taught in all the schools in Illinois and black history not taught? But here again, they have representation. They don't just have folks got the right to vote, send somebody to these offices, but somebody who represents them and not going to follow, but to try and lead and work on behalf of their people. They got them a new school, and they're not trying to move there. They're not worried about gentrification because they're expanding in Chicago, going south. All you got to do is ride down, wouldn't work for ride down Canal. You'll see what I'm talking about. First, they started with the myth that the Asians was being beat up. They had to put everybody on our level in order to start getting the same thing we got. Now, I don't know what they do in New York and San Francisco, but the Asian community here was not. What they're doing is they're getting our money. They're getting all of the nails and the pedicure. They got the hair shop. They just fix on high folks. They got these Chinese food in there, and they don't hire black people. And the woke not saying nothing to them. They only have their own. Well, you can't, you know. And then you go on over to the other people of color who have businesses. You walk in to go on Mariana and any of these stores and see the ethnic flags and the ethnic stuff and people's food and people's stuff and their business. And we just don't have that because, not because we can't have it now. Be clear on that. However many people they have, they represent it. They don't say no people of color, and they don't come behind nothing that we're doing unless it's going to benefit them. Let me tell you. A lot of things happening right now, and it's kind of dangerous. And I don't blame them. I don't want you to think I'm blaming them, because they're supposed to do just what they're doing if we allow them to do that. I fight, we fight, we shake the apples, shake the tree, and they pick up the apples. Okay. I know Miguel because we the one brought him into government under Harold Washington because they wasn't really in, you didn't have these folks. But they grew real fast. Miguel is over the Board of Education. There's the interim CPS, who's a Latina, and they're making $15,000, $35,000 more than what Janet Jackson made. The mayor just appointed the corporation council, a Latinas corporation council. I want you to understand, they supposed to do what they're doing because our people are doing other stuff. They're doing economics and they're doing political empowerment and economic empowerment and community and family. And we just keep hollering. Because I don't care if nobody get mad at me. You got to tell me what leaders right now are leading the black community in that direction. And then you got the city clerk, Latina. We have a black leader in Springfield, Welch. But he put a Latina over the remap. And I have a reason for saying this. I have a lot of associates, small. Remember, we brought a lot of folks in when they came in. Then you got, that's for the remap. The school, look at the school board. They're going to look at whether they have an elected school board there again. Now, you saw Tammy Duckworth came out and endorsed Valencia. Why? Because she said that they needed more women of Asian descent in government. Now, I want you to hear me very clearly. There's no black woman in the Senate. No, especially no descendant of enslaved black in America. You don't have one. You had Kamala, who Mama Bertha did, because they're European. You can go look at that. That's public knowledge. But even when that seat became available, none of these people who rode our backs went to fight for a black woman to get that seat. And I kept saying that to y'all. And y'all didn't want to listen to me. You thought I'm just, yeah, I go again. Because that was Kamala's call. She could have told the governor, hey, you should put a black woman. You had two great black congresspeople, or congresswomen, I say men and women, from California. One of them could have gotten that seat. And you didn't even hear the Asian or people of color pushing for a black woman to get that seat. They gave it to a Latina man. Now, we're going to get into the politics of things later on, maybe later on this month, because I got to play Dr. King, and I'm going to start him at 6:45. I'm going to have to play him in order for you to understand our struggle. And you're going to find out, and when Dr. King come on, I want you to have a pencil and a paper. And Dr. King always talking about the black man or the Negro person, and how he go back to us. In his speech, he talks about, this is a fight between the black man and the white man. Why did he say that? Because we built America. Say what you want to. This is your country. You built it. And whatever differences we have to work out in between two, but you don't put everybody else in the middle of this fight and everybody else done got all up in it and you the last one. When I saw, and with all due respect, those leaders in Washington, we're going to get some street heat for what? And then you see the national teachers person talking about, oh, I got we're going to have some lawyers if you try to stop in the teachers for teaching critical race theory. Then you, I heard someone last week talking about the stuff, and they haven't even looked at it or endorsing something. That has nothing to do with our history. Why are you going to make our children, teach our children to be hateful? They already hate enough hate going on in our country. That's why people shooting up each other, road rage is going on, all kind of things are going on with our people. Oh, y'all woke up this morning, huh? Everything going on with our people. Yeah, I'm going to take some calls when I come back. When I take a break at 6:30, then I'm going to take some calls until 6:45. Then I'm going to put Dr. King tape on because I want him. But we have to, as a people, while they're talking about, oh, yeah, we're going to do this and do that. No. That critical race stuff has nothing to do with our history. They didn't say anything. When they said the Asians' history yesterday, they said their history. What does critical race do? And keep, they got to keep something going. It does not talk about our history. It's the white man this and white privilege this and hate this person and the person that. And it's interesting because those people who are saying that is, I don't know what all these tapes are. Those people who are saying that, you follow them and see where they're living. When you see that Don Lemon talking this mess and he live in a community with 1% black folks with his white husband. Joy Reid talking about our country and America let her and her family come over and her father gonna make the Congo rather than thinking that America was here to let her in. So you go, and then you got to leave up there. Those fools in Detroit put her in over a black person. And you don't hear her talk about nothing about Detroit blacks, about the schools, about jobs. Talking about her grandmother over in Palestine. You have the other girl. She always talking about Puerto Rican and other stuff. You got these people in place. You got one black woman following them talking mess. And it's just crazy. It's not about economics. It's not about education. I mean, the root cause of this stuff is education. Everybody wants to skip around it. What are they teaching in the schools? They took parents out of the school. I looked up to see whether it's still PTA. They say, yeah, it is. I don't know. Parents Teacher Association. They don't want you in the schools. The ministers and stuff need to come together in the black community and start opening up some schools like Marvel College. These teachers that's out, because these folks are terrible. They won't teach sex, non-pronouns, and all the other stuff. But what about math, science, physics, music? I wasn't good in math, but I know adding, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Now, there's some folks good in math. They went on to physics and other stuff. But they don't teach that stuff. Reading and writing, you don't. So what they're doing is they're bringing, they said math is racist, so bring it down. Why would you, that's to keep you dumbed on why they got their children somewhere else. English is racist. Hey, come on. It's really not right what's going on with our children. Our children are being destroyed. Now, they want to talk about what all they want to do, but they don't talk about they're going to open up vocational schools for these children or young folks so that they can be able to get some of these jobs while they got other folks they training these people. Then I talk about how racist the union, talking about how racist the union is in terms of the pipe fitters and all those other folks. It's a lot of stuff that's impacting us. And we have no leaders that's dealing with our problems. What they do is wait for the assignment and they speak. Critical race, voter rights, this and that, justice, and really pervert. I get hurt because these folks pervert what our movement stood for. Dr. King was part of a movement. He was a spokesperson for that movement. And you had all kind of people in that movement. You had Bevel, you had Jose, you had Diane, you had Dorothy Cotton, you had us, you had everybody in that movement. And the cities, and see, we're getting older. I guess they waiting for all of us to die out. I got to take a break. Give me 1 minute and I'll take one. They're waiting, but they're perverting our stuff because they're not preparing the most precious thing in the world for the future is our children. Yeah, they're out here shooting and stuff and doing all that stuff, but they're functioning illiterate. That's why they got short temples and all that other stuff, because they can't read, they can't understand, they can't comprehend. What they understand is the fight. Fight or flight. And you got these folks, how y'all should tell them to go to hell. And y'all need to go up in y'all schools and see what's up in there. Teaching them, they're teaching them about sex. Now they don't have to learn about Asian history, everything but themselves. So that's why I chose this tape that I'm going to do on Dr. King at 6:40. So you better make, because it's 40 minutes long, so I got to start it at 6:40 before I take my break so that y'all can be able to hear it all. But this stuff is real serious, and I'm going to come back. I have some more stuff to talk about, but I want to talk to y'all. They had an article in the paper the other day about the applicants for the police department. And most of your applicants are white and Hispanic. And then you got blacks, you got Asian, all other stuff. But that's interesting, why you grant them a defund police and they're around there getting in there so they can't have community policing and stuff and education. And what have happened is we have people coming in our community to destroy our stuff with our God, with our family. Anytime, you know, it's really something. So I'm going to try to put things in context with Dr. King today, because they're perverting our movement. SNCC, CORE, you know, all the people that was in movements. Okay, Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com, on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. And if you miss it, you go back on Blog Talk, because this is very serious here, what's going on, y'all. It's very serious. And our leadership is just waiting for they wait for their assignment. The assignment's supposed to be for black people. Black people. Get your coffee, get your tea, and come on back and talk to me. I'll be gone for 2 minutes. Be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
WVON is proud to welcome Dr. Michael Grayson of the Credit and Debt Management Institute every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Protect the most important thing in your financial life, your credit. If you are interested in keeping more of your hard-earned money in your pocket, tune in every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. to Bounce Back.
Dr. Michael Grayson will introduce a new government-backed program that can help you achieve perfect credit in 90 days or less. Call 718-481-3363 to see if you qualify.
Better sleep means a better you. That's why Mattress Firm made the Rest Assured Promise, featuring the best mattresses from America's best brands. For a limited time, save $500 on Tempur-Breeze mattresses and sleep 8 degrees cooler. Plus, get a $300 instant gift good towards sleep accessories. Our sleep experts have over 200 hours of training, so you can rest assured we'll find the right bed for you. Only at Mattress Firm, America's number one Tempur-Pedic retailer. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Do you hear My Computer Career ads and think, I don't know anything about computers? Well, you don't have to. Before starting, many graduates could turn a computer on and off. And that's it. Now they're IT pros. You could do it too. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career.
This is Pam Morris Walton, your gospel sister. Join me each and every Sunday at 11 a.m. for Gospel with Pam Morris Walton. Be blessed on 1690 AM WVON. That's God's favorite radio station. See you there.
For the last 15 years, Chicagoans have explored the largest African-American art district in the country on a trolley. This year, the Broadville Art District Trolley Tour is going to be in person and virtual. It kicks off Friday, July 16th at 7 p.m. in one of America's most historic and artistic neighborhoods. Experience the vibrant art world from six top art institutions and studios in the historic Bronzeville community. The galleries featured on the virtual tour will include Blanc Gallery, Bronzeville Artist Loft, Fay African Art in Bronzeville, Little Black Pearl,
Southside Community Arts Center and Gallery Guichard. After the July 17th kickoff, the tours will take place every third Friday of the month, including August 21st, September 18th, October 16th, November 20th, and December 18th. Sign up now for free on Eventbrite and search Bronzeville Art District Virtual Tour to join the largest African-American art district in the country. Experience Chicago's most exquisite art experience rooted in African culture.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
The dark brown shades of my skin. Against my hollow bones, that rocks my soul. Oh, 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 oh. Looking back over my false dreams that I once knew, wondering why my dreams never came true. Is it because I'm black? Somebody tell me, what can I do? Oh, Lord. Oh, something is holding me back.
Is it because I'm black? Yeah, baby, yeah. It's because you're black and you don't even understand it. See ya, Johnson, y'all. He wants to know what's holding me back. See ya, Johnson from the great Mississippi.
No,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
be back, y'all. Is it because I'm black? Doc King will put that stuff in perspective when I play him in a few minutes, in the next 15 minutes. So y'all call folks that need to listen. And it's going to call, and the title is Two Americas. But when you talk about the Americas, it's going to be so great for y'all because he says black and white. He named all these other folks, but he say it's black and white. And he goes into, and he put all this stuff in perspective so y'all can understand. Like I said, I'm 74 now. I was talking to some of my friends. I said, you know, we was children of the movement, now we senior citizens. I was not on Edmund Pettus Bridge with Jose Williams and all of them, nor fighting and working and walking and doing all that stuff for the right to vote, to have somebody in office. We wanted the right representation for somebody to represent us. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, our number 7735-9690. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio, take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook. We're on group Facebook. And you can also get Blog Talk if you miss us. We're going to be playing Dr. King in a few minutes. But before I go on Dr. King, let me just say that today we're going to have Chew and Chip and conversation at the church for our pastor, Chat and Chew. From 1 to 5 today with the pastor, celebrating his second year at Liberty, even though we was at another church those other years. And for Pastor Andrew Hunt Jr., today, join us. I'll be there, Chat and Chew, to give, you know, you liberators and those who support us. For more information, you can call our church, 773-268-6757. And I'm going to talk about our praise of what Hatch have done, what he's doing on the west side, what he's talking about doing. But I'll get in there in a minute because leadership, thank God that Hatcham had that, what they said yesterday, because one of the problems is our leaders and our movement have always been led with God in front of it. These folks don't mention God. So if God is not directing, who's directing it? It must be the devil. All I know is they will not talk about the education of our children. They don't talk about family. They don't talk about God, but they're talking about sex and all the other stuff. The Asians, now you got to learn their history. You might learn critical thinking, critical race. For black folks, white folks decide that it's deep, so you can hate somebody. I don't want to hate no white folks or nobody else. But I know one thing, I don't have to let you be on my back. Critical race. So you stand up, little girl, you white. Say you white. That's like telling somebody to stand up and say you black. Are you saying this and saying that? Most of the folks are saying that, I'm telling you. When I hear Don Lindham talking about critical race and going back home to his white husband and living in a white community, all these other folks who ain't got no, and then I hear folks talking about how systemic this country is rather than dealing with institutionalized, yet they have gone up, with all due respect to our president and his wife, love Michelle to death. They got three houses now, Hampton, California, Washington. This is America that, before they went to Washington, that's not what they had. Joy Reid from the Congo, look what she's doing. You know, and she took a black woman's place. I'm saying stop being led. And some of these black folks have to have this stuff to go on, because if they don't have it to go on, then they can't make no money. I'm going to go to the phone. I'm going to take a minute from y'all, because at 6:45, I am going to do Dr. King, start Dr. King. Should I 6:45 or 6:50? 6:50? Okay. All right. I'm going to start the tape, America, Two Americas by Dr. King, to put some of this stuff in perspective. Let me talk to Israel. Israel, how you doing?
Hey, Dorothy, the more I talk to you, the more knowledge I get. 74? Man, I thought you was 50-something.
Nah, I've been out here a little while. But it's not
like... I think my mother was a community activist. I tell you all the time, long time ago, she always used to say, that lady in that hat.
Yeah.
But anyway, something very important. I'm down in Washington, D.C. right now.
Mm-hmm.
I walked up here, walked and drove.
You were at that meeting yesterday with them folks meeting with Biden, were you?
I wish I was. That's what I'm calling you back. I'm still in Washington. I wish I could. No, I wouldn't. You think they're going to let me in the meeting? I wish I could get in this meeting Monday.
And then they came out here and say, the problem is where they got to deal with voter suppression, all this stuff we got going on.
Oh, yeah.
It was embarrassing. Economic education, all this stuff. They didn't talk about substance. And you see the Asians got their history going to be in all the schools, and we're still trying to get black history in all the schools.
But listen, I walked up here with a colleague of yours and a good pastor friend of mine, but I stayed. They went back about it because I need to talk to somebody on this here. This is my second time in watching it. And I saw when we were up here, Biden was over there shaking hands with the mayor on the tarmac, and they didn't even mention good Biden.
Oh, he didn't even come into the city. He went to Crystal Lake.
That's what I heard.
But I can't talk long to you, now, give me your point. You got 10 seconds. Give me a point, because I got to go.
My point is, I'm in Washington, D.C., and these candidates are tone deaf. All the cities we walked through, we went to Toledo, Cleveland, Baltimore. Gun rates are up.
Oh,
guns,
yeah.
Every, murders are up.
It's up everywhere, and there's a reason. Yes, up.
I know. I'm saying one of them is there's music. Have you ever heard of somebody named Spot 'em, Got 'em?
Nah, let's talk about it next week.
All right, Google Spot 'em, Got 'em.
Okay, but what you need to do is keep the saying, because Dr. King will put this stuff in perspective for you. Okay, because they've been perverting my lead, and I'm going to take care of that. I ain't going to play with that no more. Bye-bye. Frank?
Hey, good morning, Ms. Tillman.
Good morning.
How you doing? Ms. Tillman, you know, I live my life according to my name. I'm a big Frank, and I love my people, and you know I do, just like you do. But when you're saying about the Asian community and what you're saying, you was right, and I do think that everyone should be sliding pushing for themselves. But when you talk about the way others are getting treated better than us, Ms. Tillman, the first thing we need to do is like an individual. When they see you have a high level of respect and love for yourself, they
right.
treat you as such.
That's right.
Well, when they see as a community, you know what I'm saying, you're not doing what you should be doing. Ms. Tillman, compare the Asians. You would get more respect. Compare the Asian community to our community.
Well, I did
you
talk about those. That's a thing, freaking. We got courage. They got courage. They got country. I want to say that we fought for the right to vote, to have representation. Right now, we're going to have to do a whole thing on what is this representation doing. That one Asian down there that got her new high school, and now they got history. So that's the thing. It's about representation, not all this other garbage. Frank, I got to go to Will and Milton for 30 seconds, then I got to go to Dr. King. Keep listening. I call your friends. And we do have people that we put in office. You go across this city and across this county, you'll see black folks everywhere. And you want to know, ask the question is, why are we bad off? We worse off. And we're going to discuss that, too, if I have time. If not, we'll do it next week. Will.
Yeah, well, you know, when you
say hey, Will, how you doing? I'm so glad to hear you.
When a community is destabilized, like the African-American community across America, we're in a very trying situation.
But Will, wait, Will. you was here, all the fights through the remap and all. No, because of our own leadership is leading our folks off the cliff. That's why we scattered.
Well, I don't know if we can call that leadership.
Okay, I got you.
I think that that's the question at this stage. I think we got into too much of personality.
No, I got you. Look, I'm glad
we are redistricting, and even just since you mentioned that. We don't even have a plan for our community, right? And we've lost so much population because they knew, and you look at every major city in America, how they destabilized our communities.
Oh, yeah.
And pushed them up out of these cities.
We're going to talk about all that stuff next week, Will. I'm glad to know you're still around. You call back because I got to go in 30 seconds or 60 seconds. I got to go into Dr. King. Okay.
Okay.
Keith, you got 30 seconds. I got to go in, Dr. King. Milt, you have to call back.
Yeah, I just want to say they keep saying that we need more police officers. It needs to start, again, with grassroots organizations. Biden needs to come up with a group of individuals, therapists, counselors, educators.
Biden ain't going to do nothing for y'all. You can stop hoping that. We better do it for ourselves and demand.
I agree with that. And it needs to start locally as well. They need to they need to have a group locally that can talk about what's going on in the environment. But they need to be educators. They need to be.
Well, I don't know. We need to look at these schools. They're making functionally illiterate students who are frustrated, do not know how to commute, read, and don't fight or flight. That's all they know. We got to start with education, training, and other stuff. Talk to me next week.
Okay, all right, take care.
Don't nobody call me back because I'm finna play Dr. King, so y'all relax. Milt, you got 10 seconds.
Hello?
10 seconds because I'm finna play Dr. King.
Catholicism and Christianity is hateful and violent.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, y'all, I'm finna get ready for Dr. King. I got to do it this way because if I don't do it now, I won't get it all through. Dr. King, let me set it up, is doing what you call two Americas. And he's speaking at Stanford University to a group of white kids. And it's very important that you see that. And I'm going to have a thing on my so you can see. I'm going to put a trailer on my Facebook. But Dr. King talks about us to America, but he says it's black and white. He mentioned other folks, but I want y'all to take notes about what Dr. King say so folks can stop perverting him. Dr. King was strong. He was a strong black man. He had a lot of strong people around him and a lot of strong people in that movement. This stuff been weakened. It's like weak Kool-Aid of some stuff. So I'm going to play Two Americas. It's very important that you listen with your third ear. You listen with your third ear. Listen and hear. And then your third eye. And hear what this man is saying. Even in terms of our rights, I'm sick of them perverting him, Bevel, and everybody who have done what they had to do. This movement was bigger than Dr. King, and Dr. King was a leader of our movement. He was very clear, and he died poor. He wasn't trying. He went out there fighting and then getting his money to build something. When he got money, he shared it with the rest of the movement. These folks have to keep stuff going because this is how they live. If they don't have this, they don't live. Okay, Dr. King was something else. Everything he did was for the people, so much so that when he was assassinated, the black folks didn't even take care of his family like they should have. But Dr. King, we're going to do Two Americas, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. at Stanford University.
Dean LaPierre, Mr. Bell, members of the faculty and members of the student body of this great institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen.
He's talking to white
students.
There
are several things that one could talk about before such a large, concerned, and enlightened audience. There are so many problems facing our nation and our world that one could just take off anywhere. But today I would like to talk mainly about the race problem, since I'll have to rush right out and go to New York to talk about Vietnam tomorrow, and I've been talking about it a great deal this week and weeks before that. But I'd like to use as a subject from which to speak this afternoon the other America. And I use this subject because there are literally two Americas. One America is beautiful for situation. And in a sense, this America is overflowing with the milk of prosperity and the honey of opportunity. This America is the habitat of millions of people who have food and material necessities for their bodies, and culture and education for their minds, and freedom and human dignity for their spirits. In this America, millions of people experience every day the opportunity of having life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in all of their dimensions. And in this America, millions of young people grow up in the sunlight of opportunity. But tragically and unfortunately, there is another America. This other America has a daily ugliness about it that constantly transforms the buoyancy of hope into the fatigue of despair. In this America, millions of work-starved men walk the streets daily in search for jobs that do not exist. In this America, millions of people find themselves living in rat-infested, vermin-filled slums. In this America, people are poor by the millions, and they find themselves perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. In a sense, the greatest tragedy of this other America is what it does to little children. Little children in this other America are forced to grow up with clouds of inferiority forming every day in their little mental skies. And as we look at this other America, we see it as an arena of blasted hopes and shattered dreams. Many people of various backgrounds live in this other America. Some are Mexican-Americans, some are Puerto Ricans, some are Indians, some happen to be from other groups. Millions of them are Appalachian whites. Probably the largest group in this other America in proportion to its size in the population is the American Negro. The American Negro finds himself living in a triple ghetto, a ghetto of race, a ghetto of poverty, a ghetto is to deal with this problem, to deal with this problem of the two Americas. We are seeking to make America one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now let me say that the struggle for civil rights and the struggle to make these two Americas one America is much more difficult today than it was 5 or 10 years ago. For about a decade or maybe 12 years, we struggled all across the South in glorious struggles to get rid of legal, overt segregation and all of the humiliation that surrounded that system of segregation. In a sense, this was a struggle for decency. We could not go to a lunch counter in so many instances and get a hamburger or a cup of coffee. We could not make use of public accommodations. Public transportation was segregated, And often we had to sit in the back and within transportation, transportation within cities, we often had to stand over empty seats because sections were reserved for whites only. We did not have the right to vote in so many areas of the South. And the struggle was to deal with these problems. Now, certainly, they were difficult problems. They were humiliating conditions. By the thousands, we protested these conditions. We made it clear that it was ultimately more honorable to accept jail cell experiences than to accept segregation and humiliation. By the thousands, students and adults decided to sit in at segregated lunch counters to protest conditions there. And when they were sitting at those lunch counters, they were in reality standing up for the best in the American dream and seeking to take the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy, which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the formulation of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Many things were gained as a result of these years of struggle. In 1964, the Civil Rights Bill came into being after the Birmingham Movement, which did a great deal to subpoena the conscience of a large segment of the nation to appear before the judgment seat of morality on the whole question of civil rights. After the Selma movement in 1965, we were able to get a voting rights bill. Now, all of these things represented strides, but we must see that the struggle today is much more difficult. It's more difficult today because we are struggling now for genuine equality. And it's much easier to integrate a lunch counter than it is to guarantee a livable income and a good, solid job. It's much easier to guarantee the right to vote than it is to guarantee the right to live in sanitary, decent housing conditions. It is much easier to integrate a public park than it is to make genuine, quality, integrated education a reality. And so today, we are struggling for something which says we demand genuine equality. It's not merely a struggle against extremist behavior toward Negroes. And I'm convinced that many of the very people who supported us in the struggle in the South are not willing to go all the way now. I came to see this in a very difficult and painful way in Chicago over the last year where I've lived and worked. Some of the people who came quickly to march with us in Selma and Birmingham were active around Chicago, and I came to see that so many people who supported morally and even financially what we were doing in Birmingham and Selma were really outraged against the extremist behavior of Bull Connor and Jim Clark toward Negroes rather than believing in genuine equality for Negroes. And I think this is what we've got to see now, and this is what makes the struggle much more difficult. And so as a result of all of this,
we should cut.
We see many problems existing today that are growing more difficult. It's something that is often overlooked. But Negroes generally live in worse slums today.
Okay, y'all. We're going to come back with Dr. King. Call your people and let them know. To America, I want you to listen very closely to Dr. King. He talked about equality, not equity. He talked about education and other things. We're going to complete this. It's called two Americas, and I thought you needed to hear this today. I got to take a break now. Talk of Chicago 69 WVON. Our number 773-5969. We're streaming live at www.villian.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, and Blog Talk. Dorothy Wright Tillman, coffee tea in the conversation with me. Get your coffee, get your tea, and come on back. And we're going to come on back into Dr. King in a few minutes. Be right back.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON. Sherwin, Chicago.
Jovenel Moise. Joseph announced that he is now the head of Haiti's government. Under this new, unexpected role, Joseph declared a state of siege and urged Haitians to remain calm. Joseph said a group of gunmen attacked Moise and his wife in their home. The First Lady is now recovering in a Miami, Florida hospital. Four people suspected of assassinating the president are now dead, and two others are in custody.
Former South African President Jacob Zuma has turned himself into authorities. The 79-year-old was supposed to turn himself in on July 4th to begin a 15-month prison sentence for contempt of court. Zuma, who served from 2009 to 2018, was convicted in June of refusing to answer questions about alleged corruption during his administration.
Police in Louisiana are being sued after kneeling on a teen. Court documents say an attorney has filed a lawsuit against the unnamed Baton Rouge police officers following the incident last July. The teen's attorney said the incident started as a failed traffic stop and high-speed chase. The lawsuit claims an officer used excessive force by using his knee to pin the teen to the ground, despite the teen complying with the officer's demands. Body camera footage of the incident also shows the teen, who appears to be black, warning officers that he had asthma. Listen closely to a cop's reply. Also in the lawsuit, the attorney lists several violent arrests at the hands of Baton Rouge officers.
A new poll says one in five Americans believe police treat all people equally. The Black Information Network's Mike Moore has the details on this story.
The new USA Today Ipsos poll shows nearly two-thirds of those surveyed believe violent crime in the U.S. has gotten worse in the past year, and that 7 out of 10 support increasing police budgets. Over 60%, however, said police budgets should also be used to fund social services and community policing. Only 22% believe all Americans are treated equally by police, and over 80% believe police-involved shootings should be investigated by an independent authority. I'm Mike Moore on the Black Information Network.
African-American Kentucky State Representative Attica Scott was a notable participant in the summer 2020 protest in Louisville over the police killing of Breonna Taylor. Scott just announced her run for Congress, but she will not be receiving a vote from Tamika Palmer, Breonna Taylor's mother. Palmer's attorney released a statement on her behalf supporting the reelection campaign for Scott's competition, Democratic Congressman John Yarmuth, as he continues to push for legislation supporting police reform. This is not the first time there's been public friction between Palmer and Scott. In a statement posted on Facebook earlier this year, Palmer called the progressive a fraud. For these stories and more, listen to the Black Information Network on the iHeartRadio app or log on to BINnews.com. I'm Jaleesa Chapman, along with Ray Harris, on your home for 24/7 news, the Black Information Network.
It's time to focus with Robert McKay, Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. Indulge in quality conversations, enlighten your mind, and enjoy the ride while we protect, preserve, and prepare our today for our tomorrow. It's time to focus with Robert McKay, Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m., only on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Trying to understand insurance can be a bit overwhelming. Well, not anymore. This is William Carruthers, owner of Power Broker Insurance, protectors of health and wealth. Every Saturday at 12 noon on WVON, tune in to the Power Broker Show. I'll provide weekly insurance content on various types of insurance, including commercial insurance for trucking and Medicare and Obamacare during annual enrollment. Visit our website at powerbrokerinsurance.com, and most importantly, tune in to the Power Broker Show Saturdays at noon on WVON.
Edgar sits in his parked car, which won't be parked for long because it's getting towed. Good thing he's joyfully scratching a new Extreme Cash Instant Ticket from the Illinois Lottery. Anyone could win in an instant. Play today.
Game odds available on IllinoisLottery.com. Must be 18 years or older to play.
Some of the cancers that most often affect women are breast, colorectal, endometrial, lung, cervical, skin, and ovarian cancers. Knowing about these cancers and what you can do to help prevent them or find them early may help save your life. Tune in to Equal Health, Equal Hope this Saturday with host Dana Devine and Dr. Erica Taylor as they discuss the importance of early detection in women's cancers. Saturdays at noon, listen to Equal Health, brought to you by Equal Hope. Everyone deserves the best possible health care.
Mattress Firm's 4th of July sale has been extended. Hurry in and get a king bed for the price of a queen or a queen for a twin. Plus, get a free adjustable base with qualifying Sealy purchase. Or save $500 on all Tempur-Pedic Breeze mattresses. With our low price guarantee, you can rest assured you'll get the best bed at the best price. Only at Mattress Firm. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Vine TV is now on Roku, Apple TV Plus, and Amazon Fire. You can now enjoy all of your favorite Vine TV programming on your big screen using your favorite streaming service. All you have to do is type V-O-N TV in the search box of your preferred streaming platform. It's that easy. And you can always enjoy Vine TV at VON.TV on your PC, tablet, or your mobile device. It's so much to see and enjoy on one of the fastest growing digital streaming networks in the country. It's Vaughn TV. We're at the intersection of vision and value.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the talk of Chicago.
We're back. Talk of Chicago.
But it really doesn't matter with me now.
Yeah, we're back.
Because I've been to the mountaintop.
We're back, y'all. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, 773-591-1690. We're streaming live at www.vion.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We're doing Dr. King. We'll go back into him. It's called Two Americas. And I felt, Dr. King, you needed to hear him this morning to kind of straighten this stuff out. And then we're going to take, hopefully I get through in 15 minutes, take 15 minutes of calls. But we're back to Two Americas. And I want y'all to listen to him and take notes and listen very clearly because people is perverting him. We're back.
20 or 25 years ago,
In the North, schools are more segregated today than they were in 1954 when the Supreme Court's decision on desegregation was rendered. Economically, the Negro is worse off today than he was 15 and 20 years ago. And so the unemployment rate among whites at one time was about the same as the unemployment rate among Negroes. But today the unemployment rate among Negroes is twice that of whites. And the average income of the Negro is today 50% less than whites. And as we look at these problems, we see them growing and developing every day. We see the fact that the Negro economically is facing a depression in his everyday life that is more staggering than the depression of the 30s. The unemployment rate of the nation as a whole is about 4%. Statistics would say from the Labor Department that among Negroes it's about 8.4%. But these are the persons who are in the labor market, who still go to employment agencies to seek jobs, and so they can be calculated. The statistics can be gotten because they are still somehow in the labor market. But there are hundreds of thousands of Negroes who have given up. They've lost hope. They've come to feel that life is a long and desolate corridor for them with no exit sign. And so they no longer go to look for a job. There are those who would estimate that these persons who are called the discouraged persons would be 6 or 7% in the Negro community. And that means that unemployment among Negroes may well be 16%. And among Negro youth in some of our large urban areas, it goes to 30% and 40%. And so you can see what I mean when I say that in the Negro community, that is a major, tragic, and staggering depression that we face in our everyday lives. Now, the other thing that we've got to come to see now that many of us didn't see too well during the last 10 years, and that is that racism is still alive in American society and much more widespread than we realize. And we must see racism for what it is. It is a myth of the superior and the inferior race. It is the false and tragic notion that one particular group, one particular race, is responsible for all of the progress, all of the insights, and the total flow of history. And the theory that another group or another race is totally depraved, innately impure, and innately inferior. In the final analysis, racism is evil because its ultimate logic is genocide. Hitler was a sick and tragic man who carried racism to its logical conclusion. And he ended up leading a nation to the point of killing about 6 million Jews. And this is the tragedy of racism because its ultimate logic is genocide. If one says that I am not good enough to live next door to him, if one says that I am not good enough to eat at a lunch counter or to have a good, decent job or to go to school with him merely because of my race, he is saying consciously or unconsciously that I do not deserve to exist. To use a philosophical analogy here, racism is not based on some empirical generalization. It is based rather on an ontological affirmation. It is not the assertion that certain people are behind culturally or otherwise because of environmental conditions. It is the affirmation that the very being of a people is inferior. And this is the great tragedy of it. I say that however unpleasant it is, we must honestly see and admit that racism is still deeply rooted all over America. It's still deeply rooted in the North, and it's still deeply rooted in the South. Now, this leads me to say something about another discussion that we hear a great deal, and that is the so-called white backlash. And I would like to honestly say to you that the white backlash is merely a new name for an old phenomenon. It's not something that just came into being because shouts of black power or because Negroes engaged in riots in Watts, for instance. The fact is that the state of California voted a fair housing bill out of existence before anybody shouted black power or before anybody rioted in Watts. It may well be that shouts of black power and riots in Watts and the Harlems and the other areas are the consequences of the white backlash rather than the cause of them. What it is necessary to see is that there has never been a single solid monistic determined commitment on the part of the vast majority of white Americans on the whole question of civil rights and on the whole question of racial equality. This is something that truth impels all men of goodwill to admit. It is said on the Statue of Liberty that America is the home of exiles. But it doesn't take us long to realize that America has been the home of its white exiles from Europe. But it has not evinced the same kind of maternal care and concern for its black exiles from Africa. It is no wonder that in one of his sorrow songs, the Negro could sing out, "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child." What great estrangement, what great sense of rejection caused the people to emerge with such a metaphor as they looked over their lives. What I'm trying to get across is that our nation has constantly taken a positive step forward on the question of racial justice and racial equality. But over and over again, at the same time, it made certain backward steps. And this has been the persistence of the so-called white backlash. In 1863, the Negro was freed from the bondage of physical slavery. But at the same time, the nation refused to give him land to make that freedom meaningful. And at that same period, America was giving millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that America was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor that would make it possible to grow and develop, and refused to give that economic floor to its black peasant, so to speak. And this is why Frederick Douglass could say that emancipation for the Negro was freedom to hunger, freedom to the winds and rains of heaven, freedom without roofs to cover their heads. He went on to say that it was freedom without bread to eat, freedom without land to cultivate. It was freedom and famine at the same time. But it does not stop there. In 1875, the nation passed the Civil Rights Bill and refused to enforce it. In 1964, the nation passed a weaker Civil Rights Bill. And even to this day, that bill has not been totally enforced in all of its dimensions. The nation heralded a new day of concern for the poor, for the poverty-stricken, for the disadvantaged, and brought into being a poverty bill. But at the same time, it put such little money into the program that it was hardly and still remains hardly a good skirmish against poverty. White politicians in suburbs talk eloquently against open housing. and in the same breath contend that they are not racist. Now all of this and all of these things tell us that America has been backlashing on the whole question of basic constitutional and God-given rights for Negroes and other disadvantaged groups for more than 300 years. So these conditions, persistence of widespread poverty, of slums, and of tragic conditions in schools and other areas of life, all of these things have brought about a great deal of despair and a great deal of desperation, a great deal of disappointment and even bitterness in the Negro communities. Today all of our cities confront huge problems. All of our cities are potentially powder kegs as a result of the continued existence of these conditions. Many in moments of anger, many in moments of deep bitterness, engage in riots. And let me say, as I've always said, and I will always continue to say, that riots are socially destructive and self-defeating. I'm still convinced that nonviolence is the most potent weapon available to oppress people in their struggle for freedom and justice. I feel that violence will only create more social problems than they will solve. That in a real sense it is impractical for the Negro to even think of mounting a violent revolution in the United States. So I will continue to condemn riots and continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way. Continue to affirm that there is another way. But at the same time, it is as necessary for me to be as vigorous in condemning the conditions which cause persons to feel that they must engage in riotous activities as it is for me to condemn riots. I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. What is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention. Now let me go on to say that if we are to deal with all of the problems that I've talked about, that we are to bring America to the point that we have one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, there are certain things that we must do. The job ahead must be massive and positive. We must develop massive action programs all over the United States of America in order to deal with the problems that I have mentioned. Now, in order to develop these massive action programs, we've got to get rid of one or two false notions that continue to exist in our society. One is the notion that only time can solve the problem of racial injustice. I'm sure you've heard this idea. It is the notion almost that is something in the very flow of time that will miraculously cure all evils. And I've heard this over and over again. There are those, and they're often sincere people, who say to Negroes and their allies in the white community that we should slow up and just be nice and patient and continue to pray, and in 100 or 200 years the problem will work itself out, because only time can solve the problem. Well, I think that is an answer to that myth. And it is that time is neutral. It can be used either constructively or destructively. And I'm absolutely convinced that the forces of ill will in our nation, the extreme rightists in our nation, have often used time much more effectively than the forces of goodwill. And it may well be that we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words of the bad people and the violent actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence and indifference of the good people who sit around and say, wait on time. Somewhere we must come to see that social progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and the persistent work of dedicated individuals. And without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. And so we must help time, and we must realize that the time is always right to do right. Now, there's another notion that gets out. It's around everywhere. It's in the South, it's in the North, it's in California and all over our nation. It's a notion that legislation can't solve the problem, it can't do anything in this area. And those who project this argument contend that you've got to change the heart, and that you can't change the heart through legislation. Now, I would be the first one to say that there is real need for a lot of heart changing in our country, and I believe in changing the heart. I preach about it. I believe in the need for conversion in many instances, and regeneration, to use theological terms. And I would be the first to say that if the race problem in America is to be solved, the white person must treat the Negro right. Not merely because the law says it, but because it's natural, because it's right, and because the Negro is his brother. And so I realize that if we are to have a truly integrated society, men and women will have to rise to the majestic heights of being obedient to the unenforceable. But after saying this, let me say another thing which gives the other side, and that is that although it may be true that morality cannot be legislated, behavior can be regulated. Even though it may be true that the law cannot change the heart, it can restrain the heartless. Even though it may be true that the law cannot make a man love me, it can restrain him from lynching me. And I think that's pretty important also. And so while the law may not change the hearts of men, it can and it does change the habits of men. And when you begin to change the habits of men, pretty soon the attitudes will be changed. Pretty soon the hearts will be changed. Now, I'm convinced that we still need strong civil rights legislation. And there's a bill before Congress right now to have a federal open housing bill, a federal law declaring discrimination in housing unconstitutional, and also a bill to make the administration of justice real all over our country. Now, nobody can doubt the need for this. Nobody can doubt the need if he thinks about the fact that since 1963, some 58 Negroes and White civil rights workers have been brutally murdered in the state of Mississippi alone. Not a single person has been convicted for these dastardly crimes. There have been some indictments, but no one has been convicted. And so there is a need for the whole question of the administration of justice. There is a need for fair housing laws all over our country. And it is tragic indeed that Congress last year allowed this bill to die. And that bill died in Congress. A bit of democracy died. A bit of our commitment to justice died. And if it happens again in this session of Congress, a greater degree of our commitment to democratic principles will die. And I can see no more dangerous trend in our country than the constant developing of predominantly Negro-central cities ringed by white suburbs. This is only inviting social disaster. And the only way this problem will be solved is by the nation taking a strong stand and by state governments taking a strong stand against housing segregation and against discrimination in all of these areas.
Okay, Talk of Chicago 69 WVN. 773-591-69. We're streaming live at www.viewing.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're playing Dr. King this morning because we felt the nation and especially the city need it. And it's called To America. You're talking about the Negro and the white man, but it's really a good. And we started at 6:45. And I think, I don't know how many more minutes we got. I told you to call you. We got about, 21 more minutes. And after that, we're going to take a few calls. So let's take this. I got to take a commercial break. I'll be gone for 2 minutes, and I'll be right back.
I'm Allison Felix, mother, activist, and Olympic athlete. As a child, I remember sitting with my mom while she did my hair and told me stories. Those were some of my favorite memories. Now, I get to carry that same tradition with my daughter, Cameron. To get it right, I turn to the experts at Gold Series from Pantene. Developed by black scientists, Gold Series moisturizes, protects, and strengthens our hair. Gold Series from Pantene. It works better because it's made better.
Are you behind on rent, afraid of losing your home? The state of Illinois has an emergency rental assistance program for Illinois renters and landlords that have experienced financial hardship due to COVID-19. You can get up to 15 months of assistance, which includes back rent, utilities, and legal aid. Call 866-IL-HELP-1 or visit IllinoisRentalAssistance.org because Illinois wants to help you keep your home.
Do you hear My Computer Career ads and think, I don't know anything about computers? Well, you don't have to. Before starting, many graduates could turn a computer on and off. And that's it. Now they're IT pros. You could do it too. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career.
Better sleep means a better you. That's why Mattress Firm made the Rest Assured Promise, featuring the best mattresses from America's best brands. For a limited time, save $500 on Tempur-Breeze mattresses and sleep 8 degrees cooler. Plus, get a $300 instant gift good towards sleep accessories. Our sleep experts have over 200 hours of training, so you can rest assured we'll find the right bed for you. Only at Mattress Firm, America's number one Tempur-Pedic retailer. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Back. Coffee, Tea, and the conversation with Dorothy Wright Tillman in the great city of Chicago, WVON, 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.viewing.com. But we're having a conversation with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. this morning, and when he gets through, I'm going to take a few minutes to talk to you, but I thought that the nation and the city need to hear this Two Americas Dr. King talked about. And I told you to take notes while you was listening to him so you could understand this man. this godly man and understand what he stood for. So we got to go back. We're almost through with him. You need to call your friends to get the last part of it. It's called The Two Americas. Back to my leader, my teacher, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Time will not permit me to go into specific programmatic action to any great degree. But it must be realized now that the Negro cannot solve the problem by himself. There again, there are those who always say to Negroes, why don't you do something for yourself? Why don't you lift yourselves by your own bootstraps? And we hear this over and over again. Now, certainly, there are many things that we must do for ourselves and that only we can do for ourselves. Certainly, we must develop within a sense of dignity and self-respect that nobody else can give us, a sense of manhood, a sense of personhood, a sense of not being ashamed of our heritage, not being ashamed of our color. It was wrong and tragic that a Negro ever allowed himself to be ashamed of the fact that he was black or ashamed of the fact that his home, ancestral home, was Africa. And so there's a great deal that the Negro can do to develop self-respect. There's a great deal that the Negro must do and can do to amass political and economic power within his own community and by using his own resources. And so we must do certain things for ourselves, but this must not negate the fact and cause the nation to overlook the fact that the Negro cannot solve the problem himself. A man was on the plane with me some weeks ago, and he came and talked with me, and he said, the problem, Dr. King, that I see with what you all are doing is that every time I see you and other Negroes, you are protesting, and you aren't doing anything for yourself. And he went on to tell me that he was very poor at one time, and he was able to make it by doing something for himself. Why don't you teach your people, he said, to lift themselves by their own bootstraps? And then he went on to say other groups face disadvantages, the Irish, the Italians, and he went down the line. And I said to him that it does not help the Negro, it only deepens his frustration for unfeeling and sensitive people to say to him that other ethnic groups who migrated or were immigrants to this country just 100 years ago or so have gotten beyond him, and he came here some 344 years ago. And I went on to remind him that the Negro came to this country involuntarily in chains, while others came voluntarily. I went on to remind him that no other racial group has been a slave on American soil. I went on to remind him that the other problem that we have faced over the years is that the society placed a stigma on the color of the Negro, on the color of his skin, because he was black. Doors were closed to him that were not closed to other groups. And I'm to say to people that you ought to lift yourself by your own bootstraps, but it is a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. The fact is that millions of Negroes, as a result of centuries of denial and neglect, have been left bootless, and they find themselves impoverished aliens in this affluent society. And that is a great deal that the society can and must do if the Negro is to gain the economic security that he needs. Now, one of the answers, it seems to me, is a guaranteed annual income, a guaranteed minimum income for all people and for all families of our country. It seems to me that the civil rights movement must now begin to organize for the guaranteed annual income, begin to organize people all over our country and mobilize forces
so that we can bring to the attention of our nation this need and this something which I believe will go a long, long way toward dealing with the Negro's economic problem and the economic problem with many other poor people confronting our nation. Now, I said I wasn't going to talk about Vietnam, but I can't make a speech without mentioning some of the problems that we face there, because I think this war has diverted attention from civil rights. It has strengthened the forces of reaction in our country and has brought to the forefront the military-industrial complex that even President Eisenhower warned us against at one time. And above all, it is destroying human lives, destroying the lives of thousands of the young, promising men of our nation, destroying the lives of little boys and little girls in Vietnam. But one of the greatest things that this war is doing to us in civil rights is that it is allowing the great society to be shot down on the battlefields of Vietnam every day. And I submit this afternoon that we can end poverty in the United States. Our nation has the resources to do it. The national gross product of America will rise to the astounding figure of some $7 this year. We have the resources. The question is whether the nation has the will, and I submit that if we can spend $5 billion a year to fight an ill-considered war in Vietnam and $20 billion to put a man on the moon, our nation can spend billions of dollars and on their own 2 feet right here on Earth. Let me say another thing that's more in the realm of the spirit, I guess. That is, if we are to go on in the days ahead and make true brotherhood a reality, it is necessary for us to realize more than ever before that the destinies of the Negro and the white man are tied together. Now, there are still a lot of people who don't realize this. The races still don't realize this. But it is a fact now that Negroes and whites are tied together, and we need each other. The Negro needs the white man to save him from his fear. The white man needs the Negro to save him from his guilt. We are tied together in so many ways, our language, our music, our cultural patterns, our material prosperity, and even our food are an amalgam of black and white. And so there can be no separate black path to power and fulfillment that does not intersect white roots. And there can be no separate white path to power and fulfillment short of social disaster that does not recognize the need of sharing that power with black aspirations for freedom and justice. We must come to see now that integration is not merely a romantic or aesthetic something where you merely add color to a still predominantly white power structure. Integration must be seen also in political terms, where there is shared power and where black men and white men share power together to build a new and a great nation. In a real sense, we all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. John Donne placed it years ago in graphic terms, no man is an island in tide itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. And he goes on toward the end to say, any man's death diminishes me because I'm involved in mankind. Therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. And so we all in the same situation. The salvation of the Negro will mean the salvation of the white man and the destruction, the life, and of the ongoing progress of the Negro will be the destruction of the ongoing progress of the nation. Now let me say finally that we have difficult days ahead, but I haven't despaired. Somehow I maintain hope in spite of hope, and I've talked about the difficulties and how hard the problems will be as we tackle them. But I want to close by saying this afternoon that I still have faith in the future, and I still believe that these problems can be solved. And so I will not join anyone who will say that we still can't develop a coalition of conscience. I realize and understand the discontent and the agony and the disappointment and even the bitterness of those who feel that whites in America cannot be trusted. And I would be the first to say that there are all too many who are still guided by the racist ethos. But I am still convinced that there are still many white persons of goodwill, and I'm happy to say that I see them every day in the student generation, who cherish democratic principles and justice above principle, and who will stick with the cause of justice and the cause of civil rights and the cause of peace throughout the days ahead. And so I refuse to despair. I think we are going to achieve our freedom, because however much America strays away from the ideals of justice, the goal of America is freedom. Abused and scorned though we may be, our destiny is tied up in the destiny of America. Before the Pilgrim Fathers landed at Plymouth, we were here. Before Jefferson etched across the pages of history the majestic words of the Declaration of Independence, we were here. Before the beautiful words of the Star-Spangled Banner were written, we were here. And for more than two centuries, our forebears labored here without wages. They made cotton king. They built the homes of their masters in the midst of the most humiliating and oppressive conditions. Yet out of a bottomless vitality, they continued to grow and develop. And I say that if the inexpressible cruelties of slavery couldn't stop us, the opposition that we now face, including the so-called white backlash, will surely fail. We're going to win our freedom, because both the sacred heart of our nation and the eternal will of the Almighty God are embodied in our echoing demand. And so I can still sing, we shall overcome. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. With faith, we will be able to hew out of the mounting of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to speed up the day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and live together as brothers and sisters all over this great nation. That will be a great day. That will be a great tomorrow. In the words, sure to speak symbolically, that will be the day when the morning stars will sing together and the sons of God will shout for joy.
I tell you, Dr. King, Dr. King, I tell you, y'all, you had to have him today. Dr. King, believe in God. Our movement was always led by ministers, always. And our God, what you don't see in this stuff is out here now leading our children astray. You see no God in it, no solution. I came from an organization that was solution-driven. These folks just hollering and moving. And you know, they said, you don't know where you're going, any road to get you there. I enjoyed that. That was Dr. King. And if you notice, I tell you to take notes. Dr. King always talked about the black man and the white man. And he talked about how we was tied together. He didn't have no problem talking about black and the Negro. I thank you for listening to Dr. King today. And I'm going to take some calls. I'm going to take a call. Okay, happy birthday to Queen Mother Sinclair. She's 101 years old today. I tell you, hello, Queen Mother Sinclair. Thank you, Man Sung. Okay, I'm going to take a few calls, and then I'm going to get out of here. I got about 8 minutes. Okay, Williams.
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Okay, just after listening to Dr. King's speech, okay, I can't see where the criticism then of, say, critical think, critical racist theory comes in. Because I'm pretty sure that would be criticized.
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do, Williams. I'm not getting into the debate with you. We'll talk about it next week because I only got 5 minutes. Critical thinking, I will go over it next week. They're talking about hate and critical. The critical race theory has nothing to do with a solution for black people. And I'll talk about it more next week. Ron.
Just want to say thank you. And you know what? Just to put it real simple, like he said, we were here. We were here. That's Ms. Tillman, that explains it all. We were here, but you, we really need to just really thank you and for playing that. And you know what? He makes it so clear.
Mm-hmm.
He got the language right.
Yeah.
But again, black folks were here, and you know something else he said, black and white folks.
We're tied
you see nothing about any other people.
No.
Talking about black and white people. We entwined together.
Right.
So thank you, Ms. Tillman.
And that's what I've been trying to tell folks. They don't know Dr. King. They let other folks let them play Dr. King. Even at Paul, when he talked about the ride, Ron mentioned that some of the black and white. Dr. King said, yeah, ride is of the people who are, that's folks pull it out, but they didn't put it in context. How many minutes I got over there? I got 7 minutes? Okay. So you're welcome. I want to play this song. Sometime I feel like a motherless child. Should I play something else? Dr. King was good, huh? I tell you, I had another song up there I wanted to play, didn't I? Okay. Play a little, Dr. King. Okay, maybe I'm on my way out. I'll take it on my way out. I'll wait. Okay. Let me take this call. Look, I'm going to talk to you real quick. I just answered that phone. Who is this? Hello?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you and echo the previous caller, and please extend your recordings to us even more, Sister Tillman. Thank you so much.
Now, you can find that on as he spoke at Stanford University. I'll look on my Facebook and get how you can listen to it. But we got to know what
okay.
Dr. King said. Thank you for calling. Let me just say this. These folks take Dr. King out of context. There's so much hate. That's why you have all this killing and all the other stuff. Did you hear how he spoke and what he said? I don't know one leader, the so-called leader that's speaking today. I don't know one that is solution-driven. They're not solution. This is the last call. Hello. Yes.
Yes, Sister Ebony.
Notice Tillman, you got 30 seconds, and that's the last call.
Oh, hey, Hotep,
yes.
Sister.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you mentioned Queen Mother Helen Sinclair's 101st Kuzalewa birthday today.
Oh, you got 30 seconds, uh-huh.
Well, they're having a celebration at Jesse Meyer Houston Park.
50th and Cottage
Grove.
What time? 12 to
3? 12 noon to 3.
Okay, I'll mention it. Okay, I got to go, man, son. Thank you.
Okay. No.
12 to 3. Okay. All right. And don't forget, we're going to have a Chew and Chat at the church today, Father Pastor. Tim Barrett Omega service will start at noon, Heavenly Angels Funeral Home. I don't know where that is, but you can see. Look, y'all, how many minutes I got to lie? I enjoyed y'all. Okay, I enjoyed you so much. Let me just take a moment. I'm going to take 2 minutes to recap. No more calls, y'all. Dr. King, first of all, we keep forgetting he was a minister. He was a man of God. Dr. King was not fighting for black folks so they can get a grant, so they can get some money and run here. He didn't have to keep anger going for his livelihood. And in fact, when he got the Nobel Peace Prize, Dr. King shared it with all the civil rights movement. Dr. King taught us that You know, when you negotiate, you can't be hungry. When you sit at the table and negotiate, you got to say, I've already ate. Because if you go hungry, you're going to take whatever. And right now, people are being led over cliff through hate and misinformation. And for the young man who called me about the critical race theory, it's two separate things. You need to read it. Have you read it? I read it. Not what nobody's telling me, but I read that. And that's not, you can't even compare that to what Dr. King was talking about. And we're going to have a whole conversation even about the repairing this damage. They have taken that and they perverted the repairing the damage. Now you got all kind of stuff going on. But I thought America and I thought Chicago and this country needed to hear to get some clarity from a man. And Dr. King was at Stanford University and speaking to an all-white audience, and he laid it out. Because he was a man, he was not afraid, and that's why they assassinate him. You assassinate people that you are afraid of, and they was afraid of him. I want to thank y'all for listening to me. How many minutes I got? Okay. How long is that song? Okay. Happy birthday, Queen Mother Sinclair, 101 today. And also, we're going to have a chew and chat at Liberty Church today. So come on by, or you can call the church and you can get some more information. I'm running out of time here. I want to play this song, Feel Like a Motherless Child, because Dr. King mentioned it. Let's go. I don't know which one you found for me.
I feel like a motherless child.
Bessie Griffin, y'all. This is that's key mission to
this
speech. That's our traditional music. The Negro and the white band music, country music and stuff
tied together. I see.
All these other folks volunteered to come here. And they get everything we're supposed to get.
Like a mother.
And we have our elected officials taking a second step behind these folks. What he said, political empowerment.
Sometimes.
You have to have shared power. You don't have to be scared, child. Don't be scared. Just take God with you.
Like a motherless child, a long way from
breaking the door down to get here. But we are motherless
sometimes
children. That's why we accept so much sometimes. Africa. We came from the continent of Africa, but we don't know what country. America is our country. That's why we fight so hard. We're not trying to destroy it. We're trying to improve it. That's what Dr. King said. Black people,
sometimes
I understand why y'all mess up.
I feel like I'm almost gone.
The country that you built. We don't know what part
in
of Africa.
The
this is our home, y'all.
The land.
breaking down the doors of communities. We're from Africa, but which country? America is our country. We built it.
In the heaven.
Stop and get in a conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, right here in the city of Chicago. Know that this is our country. We built it. This is our country. Africa is a country. Everybody else who's telling you to do something, they have currency in country. Don't give up. And we're going to talk about repairing that damage. Our King talked about it. Dorothy Wright Tillman said next week, stand. Reparations now.
In this slavery industry is this nation's foundation.
The talk of Chicago is 1690 WBOX.
Of language, culture, and religion of African.
Alive and are under arrest.